It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
There we go. Oh, we, no, no.
Wait, what, he said he's 5 seconds
It's 5 seconds. He's calling us. Everyone, tuck in your shirt. Say, shoulders back. Come on. Come on. Get in line. You guys get in line. Get in. I'm just waiting for a call from the mayor. Yeah, so, oh, well. Hi, BFM.
Yeah, hi, Phil Goff.
Hi, Phil Goff. Hi, Phil, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, good. Sorry you had trouble getting through to me.
Oh, look, I realise, though, I imagine that there's all sorts of this rickety old city of ours, and the weather hits it like this, it can think of the phone call. You must be inundated with phone calls, surely. My drain's blocked. My kids are lost. There's a killer whale in Queen Street or something. You know, so,
it was a miserable night, but I was... pleased that we didn't suffer more inundation than I thought we were going to get. Actually, I thought I'd wake up in the morning and they'd, the poor old East Coast has been the worst victim of it by the sound of it, down Tolaga Bay again.
Yeah, they're getting thumped, aren't they?
Yeah, it's... You always wonder how much of this is just the thing that occurs in winter, or how much this is to do with climate change. But I think
we're in the situation. Aren't we at the stage now where we just need to go, it's a bit of climate change.
Yeah, the frequency of the events suggests that that this is happening more often, and the severe events are getting worse, which is exactly what was predicted.
Do you remember maybe about 10 years ago, massive flooding in China, like 1.5 million people sort of displaced because do you remember those floods there? That was all because they had deregulated the forestry over there. And everyone, so we cut down all these trees, and then so suddenly there was a glut of timber. There's and all these which I'm wondering whether it's the same down in Tolaga Bay, and that's the incident we had in Northland recently as well, where this all these trees cut down. So therefore, when the rains come up, all the logs go into the river and block up the rivers. So then the rivers, because they're blocked, they overflow, and then So there's a flood plain, is it called, a flood?
Yeah. Well, we know what happened, years ago. I think it was way back in the 1980s with Cyclone Bola, and when it hit the East Coast then, and you had all of that land. I remember flying over the East Coast and just seeing how scarred the landscape was with erosion, and thinking, why did we ever cut the trees off that high country steep land in the first place?
That loosens the soil, and
the soil ends up in the rivers and the harbours, and the land ends up as bare clay. And what have you gained? I think we're getting smarter than that now, and certainly the Chinese have. The Chinese have, to a large extent, stopped milling their forests, which is why our forest prices went up.
They tended to push it right to the very extremes, though. I remember David Shearer telling me a story about when he went over to Beijing, and they planted 1 million trees to try and clean up the air over there, but the sun couldn't get through the smog, and 1 million trees died.
The smog in Beijing is still terrible. Yeah. I remember it well from my frequent trips there as trade minister. You just wondered how people breathe. So when you look out, it might be cloudy and grey out there, but at least the air is pretty clean. And the air quality has actually improved in Auckland, whereas the water quality has remained poor because of our wastewater overflow. Yeah. Hey, but the good news is, mate, I went out to the Mangere Wastewater Treatment Plant the other day.
Last week, you went out to the Mangere Wastewater Treatment Plant?
Opened a new plant called the... It's a nutrient removal facility, and it caters for another 250,000 people across Auckland.
That sounds like something that might...
It takes all the nitrates and the phosphates out as well. So a great project, on time and under budget, so therefore it got no coverage in the media.
Well, so who gets extra money?
I think water
clear. Who gets the slush?
Water clear holds onto that. I was just thinking, though, when I was out there, now you're a young fella, you probably don't remember this.
I'm not a young fella.
Everything's relative, mate. when I was a young fella, you got both midges horrible little black sandfly things, and you just got the stench of the Mangere sewage ponds. And, you know, if it mainly hit Mangere, but if we're unlucky, it blew over Mount Rockcliffe. Same
where I grew up, Phil, in Campbell's Bay, which is on the north shore of Auckland, the beautiful north shore of Auckland, and the gorgeous East Coast Bay is that wonderful place. I'm very privileged to have grown up there. But the poo ponds are Mangere Bay as well.
So we've had a hell of a lot of improvement there, and we'll get a whole lot more, of course, with the thank you, Auckland, for voting for the targeted rate on water quality. We can really start to make some progress. We'll see in the next 10 years a total transformation of the amount of waste that wastewater overflows that go into the harbour. We'll knock it back probably by up to 90%, which is great news. Great news for the city.
Now, other Phil's in the news. Phil Twyford.
Yep.
He popped up, and as if he has enough to do with his daily itinerary, he popped up the other day and sort of said, "Hey, what about if you guys did?" There was a conversation that was had about free public transport, because what's happened, Phil? Your town, Auckland, the one that you're the mayor of, is the third most expensive city in the world as far as public transport goes.
Yeah, I'm
up to.
I'm surprised at that. If you've got a hop card, actually the prices went down last year, which was good news, because you could get, you know, you could
still the third most expensive in the whole world.
Yeah, and the two sets of good news is, one, we hit 91 million passenger trips last year, so the numbers going on public transport are rising quite rapidly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But secondly, the public satisfaction with the quality of the service was also in the 90%. So, you know, I usually hear about it.
I'm just saying, it's the third most expensive in the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, Phil's got the ability to change that, because it's a government requirement that we recover 50% of the cost of running public transport from the fare.
Uh-huh.
And I guess, you know...
So what about if the government subsidised it to the point... Like, I can't remember the... I think it was Budapest... major city that had tried out free public transport for everyone, and it had amazing results.
Yep.
And Phil Twyford was sort of suggesting, why don't we do that? Is that a possibility? Have you guys explored the possibility of free public transport and how much that would decrease people driving by themselves in their cars to and fro everywhere? Increase public transport.
Yeah. The problem is this: you've got a basic trade-off. You can cut your fares, reduce your income, and provide less services, unless you've got another source of money. Now, I've pushed Aucklanders, along the track of investing more in public transport.
If the government pay for it. If the government subsidises it, is it a feasible thing? Is it a possibility?
But the government has the same equation they've got to work off. They've got so much money to do. I want them to do a whole lot more. The lower the fares, the less the revenue, the less work they can do, unless they've got an alternative revenue source.
Right.
So you've got that fundamental trade-off.
What about if they spent less money on the roads as far for individual cars? You know what I mean? Like less money building new roads and less money... shuffle the money that they'd be improving the roads with and all that sort of stuff, and shuffle that over to public transport.
Yeah, well, I think the big transformation in this budget that we've just passed through is that a whole lot more money is going into public transport, which is buses, trains, light rail, ferries, and a whole lot more going into walking and cycleways. But the truth is, you know, right up till last year, we were still adding 800 extra cars a week to the road, and you've got I want to intensify the population in the city, so we don't just sprawl out forever out into the countryside,
which means
you need more infrastructure, and that includes roading, because, you know, if you tried...
But if you had more people using public transport, and if it was free, more people would use it, obviously.
Yep.
If you could do that, then you wouldn't need to spend so much money on infrastructure.
There are more trade-offs there. Look, we're getting...
It's a risk, isn't it?
We're getting about 9% or 10% on public transport. We want to increase that. We want to double it, treble it, and over time,
I put it
with
to
more
you,
money
Phil,
going
I put it
into
to
public
you,
transport, that will happen. But in the meantime, you've still got a heap of cars on the road and people not able to get around. So what you've got to try and do, improve your public transport or improve your choices and your options, and then you can expect people to leave their cars at home.
I reckon take
but
the
in the meantime, you've still got to do stuff on the roads. You can't just ignore the roads and say, hey, okay, you can take 2 hours to get to work in the morning. You've got to do a little bit of both.
Right. No, okay, so let's last week you and I talked, or the week before last, sorry, we talked about the stadium, the concept of a new stadium.
Yep.
Right there at downtown Auckland. Right, so handy. But then now suddenly we were talking about Western Springs is now going to become is going to be designated for cricket. No more Speedway. See you later, Speedway. You're too noisy. You stink. You're too noisy and you're too noisy.
Hey, well, look, actually, the story is slightly different than that. Speedway came to us a couple of weeks ago after, you know,
Oh, Speedway came to you?
Yeah, Speedway came to us.
That's not like Speedway.
No, after 7.5 years of a standoff, Speedway came to us and they said, hey, look, we've been working this through. We want long-term security. We know that at Colindale Park out in South Auckland, we can plan ahead 30 years. We can get a purpose-built racetrack.
What the hell are they planning to do?
We've got no neighbours to annoy with noise.
How noisy do you think they're planning to get?
They ramp it up
like 30 times or something.
They'll be fine there. They're limited to 12 meets a year at Western Springs, and when they're rained off on a couple of those occasions, they can't replace it with rain days. So they're tightly constrained where they are, and they're not Speedway's fault. The city built around them rather than them going into the middle of the city. But they came to us and said, look, we've looked at all the options. We think this is the right option. We'd really like to work with you so that we can set up at Colindale Park. And we grasped that opportunity with both hands and said, yep, that's good. We think you're right. We think you've made the right decision. But that was them saying to us, we realise that Western Springs is not going to be a long-term venue for us in the future. Let's bite the bullet. Let's get a purpose-built, good facility. They had the opportunity of going to Waikaraka Park. They said, no, we're different from stock cars. We can't go there. Collindale's the place we want to go. And we've signed a memorandum of understanding with them where, you know, Bill Buckley, who is the strongest voice in Speedway, said, look, we've had a meeting with our drivers. Our drivers are overwhelmingly in favour of making this change. So we're doing what Speedway actually want us to do at this point. So for those Muppets that have been leaving dirty messages on my Facebook page saying, why have you forced them out? This is Speedway saying this
don't
is
you mean
the right
those
thing for
those
us.
Constituents, don't you
no,
mean?
No. If you read some of the comments, you'd realise that Muppets was the right word.
Okay. All right. Hey, is cricket the... I mean, doesn't... Really, cricket? Really? Well, really? Five-day events just... Yay.
Not that many people go to five-day events, as you might have noticed. The T20 and the one-day events are really popular. Look, our problem
It's not cricket, it's flashy cricket.
It's both, actually. Okay. What we don't have in Auckland is an ICC-accredited ground, so we don't get any test matches in Auckland. We get the occasional T20 and the occasional one-day event. But the problem is, in the old days, we built stadiums that were both ovals and rectangles. They weren't big enough for cricket.
We had this discussion, Phil, about rectangles and ovals, and they're too
far away for rectangles. I was at Eden Park on Saturday
too
night.
Too far away for rectangles.
It was great. I enjoyed the game on Saturday night, but it would have been even better if we'd had a ground that was purpose built for the football codes. So New Zealand Cricket has said, look, and they run the international matches. You guys. ICC is not going to put up with making an exception for us to be able to use Eden Park forever. We really need to have a purpose-built facility in Auckland. And, you know, look, the decisions haven't been made yet, but Western Springs would obviously be have a potential to be a cricket ground. And, you know, we're looking...
I say flood it like the Coliseum and have water battles. When are we going to do that?
Well, we could.
Oh, it's called the America's Cup.
Yeah. Won't be quite as vicious, but almost. Yeah.
Your Worship, we've got to go now.
Very good. Well, we've covered Speedway, and we've covered cricket, and we've covered a few other things. So
we dipped our time in public transport as we always do.
And public transport. Yep. Okay, mate. Going well.
Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.